First of Kings, chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. This is what happened on Mount Carmel when the fire had come down from heaven and consumed the bull that Elijah's offered, but the worshippers of Baal couldn't bring any fire down. And so Jezebel was obviously going to be pretty upset to hear that Elijah had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I don't make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." When he saw that, he arose and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. You see, just the power of words. She sent this message, and it sort of tears the heart out of Elijah. Just shows the power of words and the power of fear. And the fear of what might be. This is the Elijah who just, well, a few days before, had been up there on the top of Mount Carmel with such absolute faith. That God, I believe, you will send fire down. And he does. And he's justified in the eyes of all those huge crowds and kills 450 priests. And now he's totally scared because of the words of this woman. And he wants to die. That just shows the power of words. And this is why God judges people for their words as well as for their actions. When you look at the prophets, you see God has a lot to say about condemning people because of their words and their thoughts. So, he wants to die, and he said, "It is enough now, O Yahweh, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers." He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." He looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on the coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of Yahweh came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." He arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. That's another name for Sinai. He came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of Yahweh came to him. And he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Well, that's what we could call a rhetorical question. That is a question that is for you really to think about, more than because God needs to know the answer. It's like when God asks Adam and Eve questions like, "Where are you?" Well, of course God knew where they were. When he says, "Who told you that you were naked?" God, of course, knew. And so it is in our lives that God sometimes makes us ask ourselves questions. What am I doing here? Where am I? Who am I? And, you know, it could be that suddenly you're made to realize when you're with maybe a bunch of friends you shouldn't be with, or a bunch of people you shouldn't be with, at a party you shouldn't be with, or be at when you're maybe at a work party you shouldn't be at, or it could be a school party or friends party, whatever. You get that question that God will sort of ask you, "What are you doing here?" Well, Elijah's answer is not that great. He says, "I've been very jealous for Yahweh, the God of armies, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword. I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Well, Obadiah, the servant of Ahab and Jezebel, he'd been faithful, and he had hidden 100 prophets in a cave. And yet Elijah doesn't count that. He thinks Obadiah's not the real deal because he works for Ahab and Jezebel. He doesn't think, obviously, that those prophets are the real deal. And he's got this idea that I only am left. He really thinks that there is no other true believer apart from himself. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before Yahweh. Behold, Yahweh passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but Yahweh was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire passed, but Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So he's being made to realize it's not all the dramatic things. It's in the quiet, still things. God is the God of the little things and little people, not of the big dramatic stuff. It was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Behold, a voice came to him and said, why are you still here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for Yahweh, God of armies, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So he's not really thinking, he's just trotting out the same words. Just like we can just trot out the same words in prayer all the time. Yahweh said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. You shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be king over Israel. You shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to be prophet in your place. So God is telling Elijah, I'm going to replace you with Elisha, but you've just got one last job to do. It shall happen that he who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and he who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet will I leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. So God's saying, you're fired, Elijah. I'm going to replace you with Elisha. And for your information, there's 7,000 faithful to me in Israel. That may be a symbolic number, but he's saying, you are wrong, Elijah. And despite all your faith in me, which is not cannot be doubted, you're so wrong in that you condemn other people and you think that you alone are the true prophet and you alone think that you have relationship with God and nobody else does. You are fired. So he departed and found Elisha, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me please kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. He said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? He returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen, killed them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave to the people, and they ate. Well, this is 12 yoke of oxen. This is, I guess, 12 oxen plus all the ploughing and all the yoke equipment. It's quite a lot of stuff, so it's a big investment, a big sacrifice. Then he arose and went after Elijah and served him. So what a strange ending to the Elijah story, although we do read about Elijah for a bit longer. But what a strange ending, let's say, to his ministry, his main ministry, that God fires him from the job because he proudly insists and keeps on insisting, even before the revelation of God's glory, I am the only person who is a serious believer. And he has to be shown there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. We need to learn that lesson because we can all think that, oh, everyone else is rubbish. I'm just the real guy around here. I'm the real believer. And we need to remember what happened to Elijah.